This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 203. What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
Anything happening to you?
Shut up. Really?
Anything good going on?
It's not what this podcast is about, man.
Yeah, you're right.
Nobody cares what's going on with me. They care about what we watched this week and what we thought about what we watched this week. That's it.
And what we said, fuck it, I'm not watching it anymore.
That's
this
right.
week.
Which... I think I might have
locked maybe? The key.
Oh, you gave up?
I'm just done.
You're done?
Yeah.
Nice. So you did not go all in?
I didn't know. I just...
It's gotten better, I think. But
I don't know.
It's still kids being the heroes. And, you know, they're really, really strong playing into, you know, the parents. The parents are too grown up to understand, you know.
Yeah.
They've, like, lost the ability to see magic and... You know, they can't understand, like, what's going on. And
I mean, obviously, with, like, Cloak and Dagger, I have no problem with kids being the hero or teenagers being the hero or something like that. I just can't, no. Yeah. Or even with Stranger Things, obviously. And there's adults involved in there as well, I'm just saying. But I'm kind of curious about a lot of things, TV shows and stuff. And I know this is probably more for the news section, but I'm going to bring it up now.
Just go for it. Because I got
memory.
Nothing for news this
it
week.
It sparked my memory of Stranger Things. So many shows have shut down production.
Yes.
Stranger Things, Supernatural's final season, they've shut down production. So, I mean, they shut down my kid's school today. It's the 15th of March, by the way, we're recording for 2 weeks at least.
The Ides of March.
Yes. So I wonder what's going to happen to these shows. I hope it's not a repeat of...
Did you say we're recording for 2 weeks?
No, they shut down my kid's school for 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But anyways, what I was saying is that I hope this is not a repeat of the writer's strike when all the seasons got shortened and...
That's what I thought.
And
well.
Everything else, because it really... It fucked up a lot of shows.
It's beyond just the production, because there are movies that are in the can that are ready to go.
Yeah.
And they're being pushed back because... People are gonna.
Because people aren't gonna go to the theaters.
AMC and Regal both announced Friday,
yeah.
That they were limiting the capacity of all of their theaters by 50%. So if they have 100 seats in there, they're only gonna sell 50 tickets.
Yeah.
Moving forward, for now.
I mean, I could see people not going to drive-in. I mean, not going to the regular theater. I could see people going to the drive-in because you stay containing your own vehicle. If you,
it's a little cold right now.
Well, okay, in Maine it is, but it's not in Florida or California, other states like that.
True.
But I could see, like, you know what I mean? I could see people going to the drive-in because you stay in your vehicle.
I think it's less about the fans and it's more about the money. You know?
Oh, no, 100%, yeah, yes.
They
push back the new Fast and the Furious movie because people aren't going to go to the theaters to watch it.
And Quiet Place 2, and they're pushing back a lot of these movies.
I didn't hear about that one.
Yep.
I see a lot more pay-per-view being purchased.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or people getting movies off Amazon Prime or even YouTube or people subscribing to an extra streaming service for this month they don't normally subscribe to.
Right.
I saw someone today on Twitter comment, well, I guess I got Disney Plus now because I got nothing else I can do. So, yeah. It's interesting. So I'm curious because a lot of shows – aren't finished filming this season yet.
Right.
And it's already March.
It's not often that something affects across the industry like this. The last one, I think you're right, the last one that I remember was the writer's strike.
Yeah.
Where it shut down production, seasons got shorter. I mean, everything suffered.
Yeah.
In the entertainment industry.
It really did. And this is obviously something that's unexpected. And then, like, for instance, I know we said it off air, but with this whole coronavirus thing causing all these issues, like, you know, all these sports companies suspending their seasons, you know, Major League Baseball, the National Hockey League, Major League Soccer, who cares, the NBA,
yep,
either suspending or delaying their seasons. All the school sports have done so. They're not going, you know, before they closed the schools, they had canceled every after-school activity, dances, concerts, everything like that, until after April vacation.
Yep.
So that's over a month away. Wrestling companies, you know, WWE on Friday night did Friday Night SmackDown from the Performance Center with zero audience.
Are they going to cancel WrestleMania? Because last I heard, they were saying that they weren't. Florida was saying, we're not canceling it.
Well, no. Here's the thing. In good conscience, I don't think they can have WrestleMania.
I don't either.
You can't bring 100,000 people to one area.
Right.
And you have wrestlers like, say, Will Ospreay, who's not in the WWE, but it's not just WrestleMania you're talking about. You're talking about WrestleMania, you're talking about WrestleCon, you're talking about the Collective, all these independent wrestling organizations that get together and have all these events around WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Last year when I went to New York, where WrestleMania was in New York, New Jersey last year, I went to New York with my friends, and we didn't go to a single WWE event. We went to all kinds of independent – I went to 9 independent wrestling shows plus a 2-day wrestling convention. Mm-hmm. You know, like – that's what we did, because that's what we're more interested in. And that's where you have fans coming in from around the world to do. Well, Will Ospreay is supposed to be a big part of this. He's supposed to wrestle on 5 shows down there. Well, he's from the United Kingdom.
Mm.
And he's in the United Kingdom right now. He just announced today that he can't make the journey. He can't make the travel, you know.
He's barred from coming to this country.
I mean, it's not his fault per se, but it's just the way it is. So I don't see how WWE is going to be able to pull off WrestleMania. Now, there's talk of them going to push it back to June.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, oh, that's breaking history. WrestleMania is always taking place in March or April, yada, yada, yada. Well, guess what? Not this year.
Right.
And they really just need to pull the trigger and say, yeah, we're done.
They really do.
You know? And it's not just WWE that's suffering. AEW is suffering, and the new, you know, All Elite Wrestling. Their next 4 shows have all been the venues that they were booked at have all said, hey, sorry, we can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in 3 different states. I actually have tickets to AEW in Boston for April the 18th. Sorry, April the 15th.
Probably not happening.
Not happening.
Yeah.
My assumption, it's not happening. Limitless Wrestling, independent group here in Maine, next Saturday, the 21st. They had a show scheduled in Yarmouth. At first, they had to cap themselves at 250 people, and that's what they did. And then now tonight, after the governor announced that she's banning mass gatherings over 50 people, they had to cancel the show.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, my ticket is now good for the April 18th show, if that show happens.
Right.
I guess one thing I'm grateful for with this is, hey, guess what? It's not June and this is happening.
Right.
It's not the summer.
Yep.
You know, people's summers aren't destroyed. People's summer vacations aren't destroyed. Yeah, it sucks, but at least it's March. At least the weather's shitty enough outside sometimes still this time of year that we want to be inside.
Right.
You know?
Mud season in Maine.
Yeah. But it does suck all the way around.
Yep. And as I had talked about last time we recorded, and it's actually gone all the way through now, like E3 has been canceled. You know, Gamescom is going to be canceled because that's a European one. It's across the board in every type of gathering. You know, there's my Tai Chi class, as I mentioned before, got canceled because the schools are closed down and it's an adult ed class.
Right.
So this is affecting a lot of things.
We're supposed to have Wesley's birthday party next weekend, and we have a lot of elderly family. And Kate and I were just discussing maybe we just shouldn't have it.
Mm.
I don't want to get my grandmother sick or my dad or whatever. And, right. And so we kind of posted in the Facebook group. They're like, we understand completely if you don't want to come. You know, and my dad, he's not, you know, he's susceptible.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, my dad, my stepmom, they've decided that they just don't want to risk it. And I don't blame them.
Yeah. It's such an odd thing. I don't remember any point in my life when I've lived through something like this.
This country has, but it's just been 100 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I was at my grandmother's last week, and I know we're not talking about what we watch this week, but we were talking about this, like where this country has gone through something like this, like as a whole, because 9/11 was bad for the whole country, but it really affected that New York area the most. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about when she was in school during World War II and the duck and cover drills and the blackout drills, where they would launch the siren and everyone had to cover their windows and shut off their lights and make sure that they were completely blacked out.
Yep.
And they had the wardens walking around the towns and yelling at people to put their lights out or fining them or whatever it was. So, I mean, that was all real stuff that affected the whole country, you know, and it was in the 40s, obviously. But still, I mean, that's something she remembers. But yeah, I don't have any memory of anything affecting the whole country like this.
Nope, not at all. I mean, the closest I could think of, like you said, 9/11.
Yeah.
Or, you know, major, the Oklahoma City bombing. Or,
yeah.
You know, the Boston Marathon bombing, things like that, where, like you said, you know, the area that's affected is really hit the hardest. And
yes.
Everybody else is like, wow, I can't believe that happened. Wow, I had friends there. Wow. You know, I
was traveling. Get the waves,
yep.
You know, like a pebble in a pond, if you will.
Same thing with, like, giant weather.
Yes.
You know? Massive storms that are knocking out power. It really affects the people who are hit by it. And then the ones who aren't go, wow, I'm so glad it's not me. Wow, those poor people.
Yep.
But this is the first time that I can remember anything that literally affects everybody. Like, we always joke that we live in Maine, so we don't have to worry about stuff like that. I remember as a kid, you know, nuclear war, we live in Maine. We'd never be a target for anything. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
This actually affects Maine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've got.
We had zero cases Friday. We have 12 now.
Yep.
It's Sunday.
Yep.
So
there's our Corona update.
I know the show's called What Do You Watch, but it really is What Are We Thinking About most of the time.
And it kind of goes to that because, like we were saying, a lot of what we watch, a lot of what we report on is affected by this. So, that being said, Mike, what you watch this week? Other than Lock and Key, obviously.
Well, let's see. I watched a bunch of stuff. I tried a new show at your recommendation. I watched another show you'd recommended, but I hadn't watched yet. I watched a movie I'd never seen completely. I'd seen bits and pieces. I'd seen the high points. I've seen the edited parts of it, but I'd never seen the entirety of it.
Okay.
Dirty Harry.
Oh, gotcha.
I didn't watch a whole ton.
I didn't either. I watched kind of like the core stuff, and I watched three movies, one on your recommendation.
Okay.
And I don't have any news items. It's been a stressful week for me anyway.
Same. I gotcha.
So, yeah.
I've had a difficult week, and I kind of spent a lot of time just listening to records, reading comics to try and just preoccupy my mind, because even when I'm watching TV and I'm watching a show, I get sidetracked easily sometimes. So if I've got the record player on, I'm listening to music at the same time, I'm reading some comics or whatever, kind of, that's really helped distract me the last few days. So
for me, it's been the loot shooters. Games that don't have any plot, they don't have any story. You just go in, you kill stuff and get better loot so that you can kill better stuff and get better loot.
Just
mindless.
I hooked up my son's Super SNES Classic Edition downstairs. I've been playing old video games that are like kind of the same type of thing mindlessly.
Yep.
I just, I know the show is about what we watch this week, but
Therapy corner.
It's been a struggle to watch stuff sometimes.
Yeah. The stuff that I did watch was good, though.
Yeah.
I'll say that it's good quality stuff. I'm looking forward to speaking on some of it. But.
Because of my memory right now, it's kind of shot sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
The Rookie was not on this week, was it not?
It was. It was follow-up week. Remember?
Oh, yes.
Follow-up day.
Yes, follow-up day. Okay,
because I remember you said, oh, I'll bet you that's going to be about them following up with cases.
And it was. It was them following cases with detectives.
Yep.
Yeah.
The detectives had done the stuff, so now these guys were following up to see if there was new info or...
Right. Good episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. No surprise.
No. It's still a solid show.
Yeah.
I still enjoy it. Although this did feel like, aside from... God, I've got like five things going through my head right now. Bradford, aside from the whole arc of he could possibly be a sergeant because, you know, he could go to Hollywood, and, you know, the Sarge has a in with somebody down there and he doesn't want to go because he hasn't finished his boot. Like, that was the most heartfelt story.
Yeah.
The rest of them all felt kind of like just generic. Like,
well, I did like, you know, Nolan trying to take a step, you know, things a step further with the doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was good. And
cute and awkward.
But I liked how it kept – well, because they had dated before and they both wanted – and they both addressed it, which was nice.
And they didn't know if they were setting it up to be bigger in their heads because they're like, when I remember it, it was really good.
Yeah.
But we've all been through that.
Yes.
We all romanticize about things in the past. And
I liked the introduction of Nolan's brother.
Mm.
I thought that was funny.
That kid, I had just watched Pete Davidson do a stand-up thing on Netflix, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
It was right after his very public breakup with Ariana Grande, where she kind of trashed on him, so he went on this thing and trashed on her. And he's a pretty funny guy, although very manic, very depressive.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I thought he played that role very well.
I liked how, like, the stripper helped Nolan, you know, identify the guy that murdered the store clerk and this and that, and then, you know, met his brother, and then they decided to go on and go on a date, and then he steals his car because Nolan's found out his dad died.
And I love this.
He found out his inheritance was a $14 check and this 1971 car that the last time he saw his dad was from driving away in that car, so he really didn't want it.
Right.
And then when it was delivered by his brother. We didn't know he had a half brother. And anyways, so his brother steals the car, and Nolan's like, yeah, I know who has it. So he goes to the hotel he knew his brother was staying at, knocks on the door. He opens the door with, yeah, I've been here all night. And you can see the car in the background.
And he goes, that's a funny way to answer the door.
And my favorite part is you could see the car in clear view parked between Nolan and his girlfriend there, the doctor. And then, like, Chastity or Charity, whatever the
Chastity.
Yeah, comes up, and she goes, hey, were you with my brother all night? Yes. Did you guys go steal my car? Oh, we sure did.
And she's like, yeah, I'm not lying to a cop for a guy that we haven't even had a second date yet.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty great. But no, I thought overall it was a really funny episode. You know, I liked how some of the follow-ups were easier than others.
Mm-hmm.
I did really enjoy, you know, at the end, Nolan's brother's leaving with the car. He's like, yeah, I stole it again. Hey, could you do me a favor and mail me the keys because I had to hotwire it? And he's like, yep, no problem.
Yep.
And Chastity was leaving with him, heading back to Arizona.
Yep.
Yeah, so I liked that. I thought it was a really good episode. But you're right. Except for Bradford's arc, it was really just kind of not emotionally driven and just sort of...
Even the part that should have been, like with Nolan's dad being dead and him talking about how, you know, I never really liked him and blah, blah, blah. Like, even that didn't really have any emotional gravitas because we had never met the guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right.
Still a solid show, though. I still enjoy it.
What else did you watch?
I'll give you quick updates on Supergirl and Batwoman.
Perfect.
Okay. You're caught up. No, Supergirl, they were launching VR contact lenses, those ones that let you, like, see the world in VR, blah, 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 still working with Lex Luthor, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And then Batwoman, we got a new villain in Dualia Dent. Yes, her name is Dualia Dent, the niece of Harvey Dent, that prominent DA from Gotham.
Yeah.
Yeah. So his niece, who she was one of those girls that mom put all kinds of pressure on her and wanted her to look perfect and be perfect. And so one day she just broke the mirror and carved her face up. And yeah, now she goes around with a surgical mask on, carving up people who have also undergone surgical procedures, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Creative license, I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't watch Flash.
It was actually really good.
Okay, I'll go back and watch it.
Okay, the episode's called Death of the Speed Force.
Okay, I did need to watch that. It was one of those, I kind of...
Wally comes back, and they have a really awesome scene where it's right in the beginning, he runs up the side of a building, lands on a helicopter that's out of control, and then, like, he gets down in the hero pose for a second, and suddenly, like, multiple copies of him, like, flash out of him, and all of them, like, one grabs person, blah, blah, blah. They disassemble the entire helicopter and put all the parts down on the ground so that it doesn't, like, crash. It was really well done. But, yeah, the episode is good. You really should watch it because there's a lot happening in it.
Okay.
That's all I'll say until you watch it.
All right, I'll check that out.
I assume, though, that you did watch Legends.
Yep.
Mr. Parker's Cul-de-Sac.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
I gotta say, like, the episode itself was Legends. You know, if it wasn't Legends, it would have been annoying because of you know, trying to pretend, you know, because Damian Dark is the latest Encore. You know, he's been kicked out of hell and told to go up and cause trouble. So he finds Nora at the House of Mystery, and he's like, oh, look at this house you got, blah, blah, blah. And so they're doing the 80s sitcom thing where she's trying to convince him that, you know, yeah, it's her house, and she just wants him to be happy for one night before he goes his separate way. And then John Constantine comes in, and she's like, oh, yeah, he's my boyfriend. And it was just – that part of it was so dumb, but it's Legends, so they got away with it.
Right.
But essentially, Constantine's still looking for the Loom of Fate because he wants to change fate. Mm-hmm. And Charlie doesn't want to have anything to do with it. So she disguises herself as Nate and sends him to the South Pole, which almost got him, but then he didn't go there. Rey, I felt, especially after I read an article recently where Rey was talking on, I think it was Michael Rosenbaum's podcast. And basically he said that they didn't really consult him with writing his character off the show, him and Nora. It was just kind of one of those, oh, by the way, this is happening.
Okay.
And so,
sad.
Yeah, it is sad, especially when you see this episode and you go, oh, that's how they did it.
Mm.
Like if he had said, oh yeah, this was my idea and I wanted to go out like this, I would have been okay with it. But the fact that they didn't really consult him and he's, you know, he's like, it's been 5 years since starting on Arrow and then coming to this, and this is my family, and they just kind of like wrote me out. So I feel bad about that. It was a very passive and lame way for them to write him out. Basically, Damian Dark was just like, look, I love my daughter. She deserves better. So don't be riding around on that rider anymore. You make an honest woman out of her. Stay home.
I liked seeing Damian Dark back. Actually, I thought it was pretty great. He was an encore because there's a way to bring him back.
Yep.
His character surprised me a lot in the episode, though, because he wasn't, I mean, he was himself, but he wasn't.
It's almost as though he's learned from.
Yeah. And it's like he killed himself.
Yeah. Because he knew that he was supposed to be up here being bad. And he saw that his daughter turned over a new leaf and was a fairy godmother and was helping people and seemed genuinely happy and had friends. And that's all he ever really wanted, I guess.
And then Mick's sad story is that he meets his daughter that was conceived during the reunion. And
no,
she
wasn't conceived during the reunion.
Yeah. When they went back in time?
Oh, that's right. Back in time.
Yeah.
Wait, no. No, because that was the reunion was like present day, wasn't it?
No.
Because he went to school in like the 80s.
Right. But he went, I remember from the episode specifically. When he hooked up with her and was back in time, they didn't. You know when she didn't die and they kind of hooked up instead of.
Oh, you're talking young Mick.
Yes.
Okay, yes. I thought you were talking older Mick.
No. Young Mick. Sorry. Okay.
A result of.
Yes.
Yes.
And, but then he erases everyone's memory of her and her because he doesn't want her him tainting. And that's sad.
That is sad.
Yeah.
Mick's one of those, like, he started off as a one-note character. He was just basically the dumb thug who, like, burned stuff. And now he's a romance novelist who really takes his craft seriously to the point where he felt he wasn't doing it justice, so he handed it off to someone else.
Yeah.
He does the noble thing with his daughter and says, no, she deserves better than this. And yeah.
Surprising.
Yep. Did you watch New Amsterdam this week?
I did watch New Amsterdam.
Once again, with the Indian doctor there.
Yeah.
It was another one of those where, you know, right at the beginning of the episode, the girl's like, oh, look, I've got a new cat. My therapist says I should have a cat. And he's like, oh.
Yeah, that was so annoying.
Cats are bad luck. And I can't be a doctor today because that black cat has crossed my path. And it was just a miscommunication, as it always is with those two.
What do you think of the ongoing story arc of the patient who died and the family suing them for the death?
I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
Because it reminded me of House. You know, it reminded me of that kind of thing where it's like from everybody's perspective. The twist that, you know, they were in there for sarin gas poisoning and that the one that they were operating on had a double dose of the antidote.
Because he had dosed himself prior to the gassing.
Yep, and he was a white nationalist.
And the intern lying and saying he's the one that discovered he was the, you know, that he was the person that did it, and that he was, you know, and he's the one that said stupid racist, no, we got to save his life. And then, you know, the doctor coming clean to his girlfriend, you know, off the record, of course, that this is actually what happened. So, but I do like the fact that she talked to everybody, and then she told, like, the head of the hospital there, like, yeah, there's no one did anything that put them at fault. No one did anything wrong. Mm-hmm. Great. Perfect. You got to settle. Why? Yeah. Because they all did something that in the eyes of the jury could have led to his death. However, if put on the witness stand, the opposition will tear them apart.
Destroy them.
Yeah. So it's going to be a big settlement, but you just need to settle.
Yep.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does. Now, what did you think about the whole fake school shooting thing?
Oh, I thought that was completely inappropriate.
So
for the school to do.
So the setup here was that this girl came into Iggy's office and she was traumatized because she said that she saw her. She couldn't stop seeing her friend lying there on the floor after the shooting.
With a bullet in her head.
Yep. And so he went to her parents and he's like, why didn't you tell me she was in a school shooting? Oh, we didn't know that she was in a school shooting. Well, it turns out that the school discovered that there's this company that comes in and does hyper-realistic school shootings. They're fake. But they do it without telling anybody so that they can get authentic reactions out of the kids and teach them.
They'll enlist a couple kids to be victims that they'll put squibs on so that when they shoot them, it looks like they're dead.
Yep.
But they don't tell the teachers. They don't tell anybody.
Because they want them to feel the fear.
And this is one of those, you know, I'm not going to say famous, one of those like, you know, it's not a public school in New York. It's a private school, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think that's really inappropriate.
Yeah. Like, I don't have kids, but if your kids came home and said that something like that happened,
if the school told us they were going to do a active shooter, like a live active shooter thing, you know, have someone come to school with a gun and do, my kids are staying home that day. Yep. I'm not putting them through that trauma.
Right.
Because, and Iggy even said it in the episode, whether it's, you know, rather she's in a fake shooting or a real shooting that she, you know, a real shooting or fake shooting that she thought she was real, trauma isn't because you went through danger. Trauma is because you perceived yourself to go through danger.
Exactly.
And everyone handles it differently. And so, no, there's no way I would allow the school to put my kids through that shit. Like, absolutely not. And I think it's very, very irresponsible for any school that would do that.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know, and Iggy's like, is anyone who, how many kids have come and talked to your counselors? We don't have any.
Right.
You know?
Budget cuts.
Yeah. And I really, really loved how he got up there in front of everybody.
Mm, that was cool.
In the school. And he got everyone to, I mean, like, it seemed really realistic. It didn't seem like that fake TV type of thing, you know?
Yep.
And I, you know, I thought it was really good. I thought they handled that well. What about Martha Jones getting her nemesis fired or getting her nemesis to quit?
That was brilliantly done.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, she got her basically transferred away. And
yeah, well, because she found that she was falsifying data to make this drug look better. So then she switched everybody's drugs. And then now everyone's getting the wrong drug. So it destroyed the trial. Oh, yeah, I thought that was great.
And then she basically, like, the girl says, you ruined my trial. And she goes, yeah, well, so what are you going to do? If you don't back out, I'm going to tell Max. And the girl's like, you would have by now. Because the thing is, as Martha Jones knows, Max will go public with anything like that.
And so then she comes to the solution of her own. Like, look, I'm going to help you cover this up. Because, you know, she comes to realize that her research did save Max's life.
Yep.
Which is the only reason why she gave her a job. Well, because she kind of got blackmailed into it.
Right, yeah.
And that she's a good researcher, but that's what she needs to be doing, not running a department and not doing all this other stuff. And so she resigns. And I like how Max like kind of is like, well, no, we'll do this. We'll do this. And she's like, nope, I'm done.
Yeah.
So, and then what do you think of the little the sexual tension between Martha Jones and Max?
Considering that the episode started with him waking up in bed with his new playdate lady.
Well, yeah, yeah. But they were clothed, and then they weren't.
Yep.
And then they kind of, the end, the episode ended with them sitting on his stoop kind of talking like, what are we doing? I don't know.
Mm.
How do you feel? I don't know.
So. I don't think that we can have that with him and Martha because they need each other in a different capacity than in a romantic one.
School still wasn't on.
Nope.
Superstore wasn't on, but I don't care.
Yeah. This is us.
So Jonah from Superstore was in the movie As Above, So Below.
Oh. Which one's that?
Johnny came over on Friday, and that's what we watched because we watch horror movies on Friday the 13th, and it's the one about the archaeologist girl who's in Syria and finds that something her dad's been hunting forever is down in the catacombs in France, and so they go down and explore the catacombs, and it's kind of like As Above, So Below. It's kind of a play on hell and everything of that nature. Anyways, Jonah from Superstore is in that movie as the second male lead, which surprised me because I don't ever remember him being in that.
Is he just as annoying?
No, actually, he's not.
Oh.
So it's kind of amazing.
Nice.
This Is Us. Yes, I watched This Is Us. Hate Randall even more.
I know. He's neurotic and controlling and...
I don't know if I've ever noticed this until they really drilled it home these last few episodes with him, how controlling he is. But, like, his whole life, he literally has felt that he's the only one that can take care of their mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his fault that their dad died, which we finally see that.
Right.
Because he didn't tell his dad not to go in.
Yeah.
You know?
And he asked Kevin that. Like, that was pretty powerful at the end there when he's like, you know, don't you ever think... What life would be like if we had stopped him from going in there? Like, what it would be like right now? And Kevin's like, No, I don't.
Yeah.
This is life.
Right.
Do you think about that, Randall? And he's like, yeah, every day.
Yeah. So.
So I'm wondering, the last scene of that episode was how Randall fantasized about telling his dad, if you go back in there, I'm going to kick down that door and carry you out myself. So Jack didn't go back in after the dog.
Right.
Do you think that next week we're going to get like a... like, wonderful, It's a Wonderful Life, like, this is what life would be like now, or...
No, I don't think so.
Good, because I wouldn't want to see that.
No, either would I. I don't think so.
Unless we're getting into, like, Sliders territory, where it's an alternate Earth, and...
No.
But that's not what this show is.
Essentially, this episode was about going to Kevin's movie premiere in New York.
Yep.
As something that Rebecca wanted to do really bad. And so the multiple story arcs we see in this is Rebecca as a little girl looking at a painting at the Met, and then them as teenagers going to the city, and then her going when Kevin was in NYU, and then now the premiere. And quite frankly, the NYU part, I don't care about.
Yeah.
The kids, them as teenagers going with their dad and stuff, they got lost, and Jack was wrong about something, and yada yada, and blah, 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 and who cares?
It was one of the rare times in this show where Jack was not cool, calm, and collected all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because he felt ignorant. He felt like a bumpkin because Rebecca had all these experiences in New York growing up as a kid. And he wanted to be, you know, we're going to take a trip to New York. And he kind of wanted to be the man and do that because Jack always has a good plan. But he didn't know, like, how the subway worked. And they ended up going out to Queens. And he didn't know about this place closing and that place. And so.
Yeah, and then Rebecca reveals... You know what I didn't tell you about was my dad being drunk, my dad throwing a fit, my mom being drunk and gets kicked out of a place and da-da-da-da-da, you know? But essentially, the whole episode is about them going to Kevin's movie premiere as adults and Randall... And you really see in this episode how Randall, throughout life, has always belittled Kevin's acting career, you know? That's great, brother. That's great. You do your little movie thing, you know? Or even, are you going to go walk off with your Hollywood friends and, like, Like, Randall really looks like a narcissistic, self-involved, holier-than-thou, like, arrogant prick.
Even to the point where, you know, he sat down with Kevin and Kate in the beginning of the episode, called a red alert, you know, we've got to talk about this, and said that he found a clinical trial that was going to be 9 months, that was going to be in,
St. Louis.
Yeah. And he's like, we need to all come together, and I've done the research, I know what's best for mom, this is best for mom. And they were like, all right. And he's like, but we need to be a united front. So then later on, when Rebecca's like, look, I don't want to go to this drug trial. I don't want to do any of that stuff. Well, I want to enjoy my time with my boys as much as possible. That's all I care about is being happy, enjoying the laughs, enjoying the fun times. And that was sincere. And it came from her. And Kevin's like, then that's what you get.
Yeah.
And Randall was like, you could have gotten her into that trial if you had stuck with me.
Thanks, Kevin. It's your fault.
Yeah.
But the thing that started this was that when Randall got to New York, the big thing was, first thing we're going to do is sit down and talk about this because we got to make this decision now. And Randall's and Kevin's like, look, let her have a great day.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the weekend. It doesn't, you know, it's not going to make a difference whether we talk about it today or we talk about it tomorrow. Let's just let her have a nice weekend.
Yep.
Let's not talk, bring this up. Let's not talk about it. Let's let her enjoy herself because she got to go to she's staying at the Plaza, wearing a fancy dress, going to, you know, the premiere, walking the red carpet. I mean, you know, like just something she's never done and she wants to experience things. Yeah. Now, Randall reluctantly agrees. But of course, later on, basically the first opportunity he had when it was just him and his mother alone, he brought it up.
Yep. Got her upset.
Yeah. And it's because she had a memory lapse about something.
So the name of the hotel they were in.
Yeah. And so he brought this up and, you know, and just and when Kevin's like, we agreed to talk about this tomorrow. Like, why would you ruin the night? And he's just like, and of course, Randall never admit he did anything wrong.
Right.
And I really liked it. And when Kevin threw this in Randall's face, because I just do, because he had it coming, which was like, you know, Randall, you've always belittled my acting career. Well, what's paying for mom to get the treatment she's getting?
Yeah.
What would be paying for her to go to that? Not you and your councilman's salary.
Yeah.
You know, and even then, Randall's just like, screw you, Kevin.
Right.
And storms off.
Always got to be right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I used to like Randall as a character.
Yep.
And they really made me hate him.
I'm wondering if he's going to turn around. You know, I'm wondering if they're going to flip it and flop it.
We saw that flash forward already where her mom's memory is real bad and goes, hey, where's Randall? And she's and Kevin's like, Mom, you remember we're not speaking to each other right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Oh, Stumptown. Was there one on?
Not that I saw.
Okay, me neither. See, when I'm not working, I haven't worked in 3 weeks, so it's...
They're all kind of
blurry. Yeah, everything's running together. I'm actually looking...
Like diarrhea.
Cha-cha-cha. I'm actually looking forward to going to work tomorrow, believe it or not.
Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist had a new episode.
Yeah, I thought it was a good episode.
Mom was talking about closing her business because this was the business that her and Dad had started.
Yeah.
So we once again got to see Peter Gallagher singing. It's your thing. Do what you want to do.
It was excellent.
It was excellent because he did the whole dancing and everything. And,
yeah.
We had the her brother and his wife, who she's pregnant. He keeps telling her that he's working late.
Yeah.
Big shocker. He's going to the bar with friends and he's like, look, things are stressful. You know, I got a baby coming. I need to blow off steam. I need to not be there. It's too real right now. And she tells her that, you know, good on her for that. Like not keeping that secret and not saying, well, he's my brother. I'm going to keep the secret. She's like, no, you deserve to know. This is what he's doing.
Well, okay. So I thought the duet that the brother and his wife sang together at the beginning was excellent. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of the song, but it was excellent.
Just Give Me a Reason.
There you go.
Pink and, I can't remember.
And then later on, when he sang Beastie Boys, he sucked.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Terrible.
Oh, it was awful.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And then.
But you notice that the first duet, it was more spoken word than actually singing.
Yeah. The arrogant jerk in the office who gets his peer review and he gets ripped apart and he's singing Everybody Hurts like throughout the episode was hilarious.
Yep. Because as he said, and this was really good, he's never dealt with criticism. Like nobody's ever really told him he did a bad job or that he wasn't good enough. So he's only ever been used to being praised.
Yep.
So he's not equipped to deal with that.
And he's convinced that Zoe's the one that gave him the peer review, which she didn't. And then when she tries to counsel him later and kind of agrees with the peer review, he's like, oh, so you did write it. Well, that makes me feel better because now he's like, oh, it doesn't matter because you're just jealous of me. Probably is what it is.
Yeah, because she was reading her peer reviews.
Yeah.
And one of them said, she shouldn't have gotten the job. I should have. And she's like, he goes, I wrote that. She's like, yeah, I kind of figured.
Yeah, no shit.
And her buddy there, so, and I honestly can't remember their names. I feel bad, but the one guy who's got a fiance,
yeah,
he's coming up on the anniversary. It's going to be the first of his dad's birthday since his dad killed himself.
Yes, the guy that's engaged to be married.
Yeah, and he's not handling it well.
Nope.
And he really is thankful that Zoe is there because she gets him. She understands him. She's dealt with this kind of stuff. He says his fiance, most of his other people in his life just don't get it. They don't work with him, etc. But meanwhile, the other guy that she hooked up with, Autumn's a space cadet. Autumn, like, stands outside staring at a rainbow for a half an hour because there's a rainbow outside.
37 minutes.
So he basically, he has to break up with her.
Yep.
Because it's just not working out. Like, it's not that she's a bad person. She's just not a good fit for him. So now Zoe's got these two guys. Like, the guy who has the fiance comes over to visit with her. And he's like, you know, hey, I'm at your front door. Can we talk? And, you know, kind of talks with her and he feels better. And then he sings, should I stay or should I go?
Yeah. And my wife's
gets very dancy.
My wife is going, he needs to go.
Yes.
He needs to go.
Yes.
And then, of course, at the end, they tease that she told him to stay.
Yeah. I hope she didn't.
I hope not, because that would make her a whore.
It would make him a bad person. He needs to be able to, and this is the problem. This is why people like to fall back on the cliche that men and women can't be friends.
Right.
You know, he needs to just appreciate her for the friend that she is, for the support that she can give him, and not think that he needs to be in a relationship or have sex with her because of that.
Right.
Just appreciate the friendship, man. She's doing it. Anyway. I hope he left.
October Faction?
Yeah.
I watched two episodes.
So you're up to...
Seven.
Okay.
Yep. So the kids are warlocks.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Right? The sharp left turn.
Yeah.
I'm glad you watched it because I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. That didn't make really...
I mean, they kind of hinted at it where he could see the ghosts and she could predict the future.
Right.
He had that connection to her under the water. But, and that would give more credence to when the parents said an episode or two ago, they were like, it's happening. What we feared all along is happening.
Right, right.
But then, like, how are the kids warlocks if the parents aren't?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
Or does this go back? Remember how I told you a couple episodes back? I was wondering how it is that mom kept surviving these vampire attacks, like in the flashback and then the bikers
and stuff.
Does she have something going on?
We find out that there's an armed group of others, monsters, whatever they are, and they're all working together for a common cause of apparently stopping this warlock.
Yep.
Well, that's their mission, this, but apparently they have their own little type of army.
And they stop rogues, essentially.
And that's basically who took out the vampires.
Didn't they have a whole supernatural, the TV show?
Yeah. We also find out that Jeff's brother, Sam?
Yes.
Yeah. When he died at the club, he was killed by this fighter in this army.
Yep.
And when him and Jeff meet up later on, basically we find out that Sam was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And that he took way too much glee in killing people, and he didn't just kill monsters, he tortured them.
Yep.
You know, like he tortured this guy's wife, killed their daughter in front of her, then finally killed her. I mean, like, yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, he was a piece of shit.
Yeah, he kind of deserved to die.
And so Jeff's kind of having this eye-opening, like,
yeah,
I guess not all monsters are bad. And
they've also found that the Presidio obviously doesn't trust them. They sent a hit squad to their house. And
yep.
So it's kind of interesting. But yes, you're right, not all monsters are bad. They kind of work together for a spell. They go into this, what's supposed to be a research and development center, but it's a detention center, and find this guy that's supposed to help them be able to track down the warlock, but then he dies from his injuries.
Right. So they're seeing the darker side of Presidio. Meanwhile, Presidio takes Jeff's mom back, you know, to heal her, and, you know, towards the end, she gets to see that, oh, look, Dad's still alive.
Surprise, or her husband's still alive, yeah.
Yep. And we also see that the kids kind of took a dark turn. I don't know if it's just going to be the typical, you know, you've been lying to us, and we have all these powers, you kept it from us, or if they're just playing along.
I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to tell. It kind of almost seems like because she took that thing of ash she stole from the Allen's house, and she put it on their foreheads like it was Ash Wednesday, and then they chanted, she chanted something and they held hands and chanted something. And it's like their powers grew and it's almost like, did that make them evil?
Maybe.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's we got three episodes left. The next one's called Alice. So we get to learn about her. Probably.
Oh, nice.
I'm guessing her backstory.
Yep.
Cause obviously we were first introduced to her when she was chained underwater and got released during right. that Ouija board or seance. And, and then also we learn that Sam appears to still be alive. He's the guy with the cyborg eye and he's can't speak.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
He's an odd character.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we get a little bit more on him because he seems to have good intentions.
Yeah, he does. There were two good episodes.
Yeah.
There were two good episodes.
That's why I was glad you watched them, because last week I was like, and then you watched those, I'm like, yes!
Yeah, there were two good episodes.
And I'm not going to sit here and be like, dude, you should try Lock and Key again. I get it. You know, it's not the greatest.
Yeah, no.
So, I'm still pushing through. I probably won't limit myself to one a week now. I'll just rip it off like a Band-Aid and push through. And
yeah, you can let me know.
At the end of the season. I kind of want to talk to my sister, too, because she read the graphic novels. And I believe she has thoughts because they changed a lot from the graphic novels.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But I'll talk to her about it afterwards, and then I'll share with you
perfect
what I find out. Did you happen to notice that Paradise PD came back?
I did. I just didn't watch it.
I watched the first episode. I don't know if they got different writers, but it just didn't feel like the first season. Maybe it's because it's been too long and I binged the first season so hardcore, but I remember really liking the first season and really thinking it was funny. And this one didn't seem as funny. It seemed more like, okay. Yeah. Oh, look how many broomsticks he has in his ass. Yeah. Okay. So check it out. Let me know what you think.
Okay. I will. I did watch episodes 2 and 3 of Hunters. Holy shit, it's a good show.
It's still dark.
It's wicked dark. It's wicked complex.
I love some of the stuff that they do with, like, you know, when they're doing, like, here's the team, and they're telling you all about them and stuff like that. Or when they break the fourth wall, kind of, and make it seem like a comic book.
But, you know, episode 2, they go and hunt and kill... what's his name? He was like a communications Nazi.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the one that would like get 10 Jews to to sing. Yeah. And if they sang off key or messed up the words or something of that nature, like they'd sing and they'd be in a room singing with a record over the camp microphone or whatever you want, a PA system. And he'd just shoot them one at a time till there was only one left. And the person that was left won the contest. You know, he's still alive. He's here, and he is a record producer, artist guy. And he's also, apparently, he secretly broadcast tapes that are supplied to him to, evidently, the tri-state area through this underground radio system where they get messages. So Jonah has a, when they're there torturing this guy, he has a conscious attack. And he's like, I can't do this, I can't do this, and almost gets himself killed. In the process. Which,
wasn't it so similar to the guy in the toy store?
Yes, it was.
It was almost identical where the guy, you know, does the same thing where he's like, please don't let them do this, please. And Jonah's like, okay, and he gets close enough and the guy takes him out.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
You'd think he'd learn.
Well, when Jonah is being hunted down by this American Nazi sympathizer and he kills his best friend in episode 3, I think that's going to be the catalyst that is going to get Jonah to... Because when he talked to Al Pacino's character there in that episode, he was basically like, you wanted to kill the doctor, right? And he's like, yeah, well, that's because he killed my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
But when this other guy, like, I didn't have anything against him.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, well, guess what? We had stuff against him. You know, he killed, you know, 6 million. He's one of many that killed 6 million people. And, you know, you go to the Nuremberg trials, only 24 people were put on trial. 12 of them were executed. The other 12 kind of died. Committed suicide or whatever happened, but like when you really think about that, it's like they charged 24 people with killing 6 million people. No, that's
Right.
It seems inadequate.
Yep.
So I don't know. It's a really good show. It gets really dark, and there's, like you said, those funny moments. In episode 3, the Markowitz is there. They finally figure out there's Morse code on one section of the tape, and when they listen to it, it gives you dates and times, and probably locations. You just don't understand it, and it's all stuff in the past. And it's like when RFK was assassinated, the Watergate scandal. I mean, all these. So it's like Nazis have been responsible for these or been involved in them, this and that. And then, right. Of course, there's one that's upcoming in 2 weeks.
Yep.
That they don't know. So, I mean, that was probably kind of cool.
What do you think about the nun?
All right. Yeah. So the nun at one point, yeah, it's almost like she's a double agent working for the Germans.
Yeah.
Which
would really, really fuck things up.
Yeah, it would. But she's been with them for quite a long time, killing Nazis at the same time. So it's kind of...
And we know of at least 2 Nazis that have died while she's been working with these guys.
Right.
So it's not like she's tipping them off and getting them out.
Exactly, yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. It's interesting.
It's a good show. I'm enjoying it.
It really is good. The first episode I felt was kind of like intensely dark. Mm-hmm. These next 2 episodes were still dark, but I think they were not as.
Right.
I think the little moments they had, like when he got high and they did that whole staying alive dance routine.
Yes.
And then we learned more about his grandmother being in the concentration camp and what she did.
And he keeps seeing her.
And you notice whenever he sees her, he has a ringing in his ear.
Yep. And they had said to him, they're like, once you go down this path, that ringing's never going to go away.
And I'm pretty sure it's the death of his buddy there, Travis, that
which
is going to send him over the edge.
That kid, like, he had balls.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, yeah, I'm him. I'm that kid.
What did you think of the whole relation where of them talking about Batman and Robin? You know, like, Jonah's always been Batman.
Mm.
You know, and I've always been Robin, and I like why Robin's so cool. Think about it. Robin gets to hang out with Batman, gets to catch, you know, his castaway girls, gets to play with all his gadgets and all his tools and gets all his stuff. He got him to kill his parents for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Got his revenge for him. The guy that killed his parents got his revenge for him and da-da-da-da-da, you know. Excuse me. I thought that was funny. I never quite heard it expressed that way, but. No, it's a very interesting show.
Yep.
I'm enjoying it.
I am
looking
too.
Forward to watching the next episode. So, John Noble's in it apparently coming up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. You know he's going to be a Nazi.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's actually playing Frederick Hauser. So, yeah, I'd say so.
God, I want to go back and watch Fringe again.
I really enjoyed the first couple seasons of Fringe, and then it got kind of haywire for me.
I still, to this day, have never finished it.
Oh, really?
2 shows that I regret not finishing that I want to start over from the beginning. Fringe and 12 Monkeys. 12 Monkeys especially.
See, I don't know about 12 Monkeys.
Oh, Mike.
I started watching it.
Oh, trust me. I got 2 or 3 seasons in, and it's intense.
Yeah, I know.
Holy.
That's what I mean. I watched, like, the first 2 seasons, and I was just like, ugh.
Oh, I loved it. I guess people have been drawing some comparisons right now to what's going on because in the story of 12 Monkeys, New Rochelle was one of the first places to be quarantined.
Oh, really?
Which New York put up that 1-mile radius around New Rochelle. Mm-hmm. So people are like, is this the start of the 12 Monkeys virus? No, it's not. It's coronavirus. That's really all the shows that I had. Everything else, I got 2 trailers, 4 movies, and no news. Except, I will say this. It's March 15th. It's Sunday. Do you know what comes back tonight?
Hold on. I think I've seen a commercial or 2 for it. Westworld?
Oh. The people that have done the early reviews, which were out like last week, people were already putting up reviews on it.
Yep.
They said that they course corrected from all the stupid time slips in season 2. Remember how everything in season 2 was like out of joint?
Yes.
1 minute they were on the beach, the next minute they weren't.
Yes.
They've course corrected from that, and they said this season is a lot more cohesive and a lot better.
Okay.
So I'm very excited. Okay. I love the first season.
I did too. I enjoyed the second season.
I enjoyed
all its craziness.
Yeah. I still like the first one better, but yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what this third season is going to be about.
Mm.
I watched the first four episodes of What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh.
Yeah.
I remember you said that you'd watched something that I'd suggested.
And I watched the first episode and I was like, okay. And I watched the second episode. I'm like, it's getting better.
Yeah.
The show is completely stupid. I'll just say that.
Oh, absolutely.
However, the actors throw themselves into the role so much.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. Like, Kevin Norvak is Nandor the Relentless. Okay, whatever. He's fine. What I'm a huge fan of, though, is Matt Barry as Laszlo.
Oh, my God.
I love yes. that character. It's amazing. But the dialogue on it's hilarious. When they go to the fourth episode, the witch's hat.
Oh, my God. The witch's hat.
Okay.
The puckered anus.
Yes. Okay. First of all.
I remember when I watched this episode, I was like, dude, you've got to watch this show. It's fucking amazing.
I didn't care for I didn't care for the werewolves. They annoyed me because they were just like rude, obnoxious, like overbearing. Like they were completely in the wrong from day one, if you will.
Yeah.
But like, and then when they beat them by shaking the toy and throwing it off the roof and the guy jumps off the roof. He's like, well, I guess you vamps win this one. You know what I mean? And then I love the, oh, don't worry, you're going to heal. It's going to be fine. It's fine. You're healing. You're getting better as we speak. Like, so, I mean, I found them annoying, but I found it hilarious.
Yeah.
But Matt Barry, like, he is the star of the show for me. He is hilarious. And Guillermo, the guy that plays Guillermo.
Guillermo. By the end of the season, you're going to look at Guillermo in an amazing light.
Oh, good.
Trust me. Yeah.
So.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
You're right. He is the best. Him and his wife, they just.
Yes. Yeah. The two of them together, hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
I love the witch's hat. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. When he's like, what's that?
Other vampire.
What's that suction feeling I have on the back of my head? And he's like, oh, that's the puckering anus of the witch. Hold on. He's like, the hat is cursed. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. And then he gets his cape closed in the cab door, and the cab takes off and drags
him. Just dragged him down the road.
And then he stops. And he just hear him go, oh, fuck. You know, like. And I love it when the turn about to go back. And they're human form.
Very Looney Tunes.
Yes. Yeah. And then when you know, Sven the Destroyer or whatever, and then the Manhattan vampire takes the hat and everything, and they kick them out, and then, like, the fucking place explodes because the hat's cursed. I love it. They go to the hospital to see Guillermo because, you know, Novak whatever's dropped him from a great height. And he was like, oh, and the line room goes, hey, look, it's my hat. Oh, is that you, you perked up bastard or something like that? And he puts the hat on and Guillermo flatlines. And he takes it off and he's alive again. And then he puts it on and he flatlines again. And he's just like, I probably shouldn't wear this. You know, like, maybe it is cursed. But I don't know. Yeah, the more episodes I watch, the funnier and funnier it got.
You've still got the Council of Vampires coming up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And like I said, 10 episodes in the season?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the second season, has it started now? Did you see the episodes on there? Or?
No. Second season starts April 15th.
Oh, okay. Good.
So, we got time. But yeah, no, it is. It is.
You're right. It's stupid. I think one of the reasons that they get away with it is because of the way that it's set up, like The Office.
Yes.
You know, where they have a crew following them around.
Yeah. That's the other thing that's kind of funny when, like, the Baron shows up. Doug Jones is the Baron. Perfect. And he's looking, and he's like, what? Oh, don't just ignore them. It's the camera crew.
Yeah.
You know, they're just documenting us. Oh, okay. And then Guillermo wants to be a
Vampire
so badly.
Yep. And they hold it over him, essentially. Nandor just, maybe one day I'll turn you into a vampire.
And then, what's her face there, makes that LARP or Jenna a vampire.
Mm.
Because people are ignoring her and she wants to stand up for herself.
She's the one from Booksmart.
Yes, yes, yep. Yep. So, I thought that was funny.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yerbo's not happy about that.
Oh, why would he be? I do find that the... that Colin, the energy vampire.
Oh my god.
Who can actually be around in the daylight hours and everything. Uh-huh. I find him funny. His ex-girlfriend, Evie, the emotional vampire. Like, I know these are joke things, but like, I know real people like this.
Yes.
And maybe that's what they are.
Literally, yes.
I liked it when they went on the date. At the restaurant, and the server's like, "You guys gonna eat your food? We're feeding right now." You know, like I like that when he gets done boring people and he leaves, he's like,
"Yeah."
He hisses, but he has no teeth, but his eyes glow blue, and
yep,
it's hilarious.
It is. Oh yeah, it makes you look at some of these people that you deal with, like in the office, completely differently.
Oh yeah, you're
like I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Evie, oh my god. Watching the two of them trying to outdo each other. Jeez, bro. Yep.
So.
What's the other show that you watched?
That's it.
I thought you said that you watched two shows on suggestion.
Oh, Breeders.
Oh, yeah.
Pass.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I love Martin Freeman there.
Yep.
And I like his wife. But you know what? The whole joke is the frustration of dealing with little kids and the neuroses of the little kids and everything else. And it just hits too close to home. And it's like, I don't want to go through that. I don't even want to watch it.
I can understand that.
Whereas you haven't had those experiences, per se.
Right.
Which, so it's funny.
Oh, it's hilarious.
But for me, it's just like, well, I've lived this.
Third episode, Child Protective gets called up.
Yeah, see, and that actually enraged me more than anything because it's just like that's the horseshit in the world we live in today. Our parents even can't fucking be parents.
Yeah.
Without people sticking
and,
them in. Like,
and I feel like that's more the message than anything. It is about the frustration of the children, but it's also about, like, in this case, you know, her dad. Did you watch the third one?
Or? I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so her dad, like, fed all of his friends so they didn't have any food in the fridge.
Yeah.
And somebody tells them, they're like, hey, when Child Protective comes over, one of the first things they're going to do is look in the fridge, so make sure you got food. Well, we haven't gotten our grocery delivery yet. It's stuck in traffic.
There's been a fatal accident.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't do it. And like, I got mad every episode.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I mean, there was parts I laughed at, but I got mad. Like, them sabotaging that marriage. That was, you know, by revealing that the wife's been cheating on the husband so they don't buy this house because they're going to move closer to the school they want their kids to be in. And then they find out, oh, they're just buying it for her mother. But I guess it was too big of a house for her anyways. But don't worry, this other woman who's got twin girls and an older son moved there. So
I got the impression that they just made up the whole affair, but it turned out to really
be true. No, it was a real affair, yeah. I got from the get-go, that's what I thought. But no, it's just every episode I got pissed off about something because it's like there's a real frustrations I've dealt with or things I've dealt with or had to deal with, and I don't want to fucking watch it. I'm not at the point now where it's funny to me.
Fair enough.
That's all.
I'm going to continue watching it.
Oh, please do. Please do. I maybe I'll go back some other time. Maybe I wasn't in the right frame of mind. I've had a little... shit going on right now, but yeah.
There are some shows out there like that that'll just hit you hard.
Movies. What'd you watch for movies?
Well, one, on your suggestion, I watched I Am Big Bird.
What did you think?
I thought it was great.
Wasn't it phenomenal?
It was phenomenal. I think my favorite part, and I have relayed this story to my mother and to my sister, my mother thinks that it sounds like something she'd do, was the story of how he met his forever wife. Oh, yeah. It was my favorite because basically he said this, you know, that his first wife, they had a kid together. The kid was like one, and his first wife did not appreciate him being in show business.
Right.
She hated it.
Yeah.
So they ended up getting a divorce, and he was devastated. But, you know, he kept doing what he was doing. And then eventually he was like, okay, it's time for me to get back out there. People are telling me to get back out there. So he found this woman who was sitting, I think, in the writer's pool or something.
Yeah.
And he thought she was very pretty, and he looked at her, and he said, I need to have this woman in my life. So he went right over to her, and he said, hey, can I take you to dinner? And she said, sorry, I can't. I'm otherwise committed.
Yep.
Which I guess back then was a nice way of saying I got a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And so he was like, all right. So, you know, some time passed, and he found another woman who he said – she had longer hair. That was the descriptor. She had longer hair. But, you know, she looked really nice. So I asked her, you know, hey, can I take you to dinner? And she was like, no, I'm otherwise committed. So, okay. So more time passed, and he found a third one.
Not like a couple months, like a year.
Yeah.
You know, like a long time. Period. Yeah.
So finally he finds this third woman, and he's like, hey, can I take you to dinner? And she said, I'd love to go to dinner with you. So they had dinner, and they had a really good time. And at the end, she said, let's have a toast. He said, okay, what would you like to toast? She said, to persistence. He's like, why persistence? She's like, well, this is the third time you've asked me out, and I finally said yes.
Yeah, and he didn't realize it was the same woman.
Exactly. He kept asking the same woman, which at first when he said, you know, I saw this woman, and I said, she has to be in my life. And then she rejected him, so he found another woman. I'm like, well, that seems a little disingenuous.
Right.
You know, the story of the love of my life, but, you know, I took second place or third place, but no, it was the same woman every time. So time would go by, and he'd see this person who he didn't realize it was the same person, but he'd look at her every time and think, I need to have this one person in my life. And it was her. So that was beautiful.
See, what I thought was fantastic was he got into the puppeteering and the show business thing, and he turned down a deal to work for Disney.
Yeah.
And, you know, for $56 a week, which was a lot way back then.
Right.
And he started his own puppet show in Boston with a lady named Julie Valentine.
Yep.
Okay, which I thought was fantastic. But then and his
I,
show.
And I love that both of them are still alive, so they were able to be interviewed for this.
Well, Carol Spinney has since passed away since this documentary happened. He just passed away in December.
Yes.
In 2019. And this documentary was a couple of years ago, you know. But anyhow, and that he and they got lumped in together with the Bozo the Clown show, and now they're extras on Bozo. And he worked for and Bozo the Clown, like, when you think of Bozo, everyone thinks of, like, one Bozo. And the last official Bozo the Clown was Joey Dior out of Chicago for WGN. But prior to him, back in the 50s and the 60s and everything like that, Bozo was a syndicated character, kind of like
Mr. Pickles,
except it was just around the United States, and each region had their own Bozo the Clown.
Yep.
So the Boston Bozo the Clown show, he was on that show, and he created all these different characters and costumes and all this other stuff and animations. He did all the primitive animations. He drew them all and everything.
Yeah, when they showed some of those, I'm like, oh, my God.
But it's amazing for that. Great,
yeah.
And so in 1969, he went to a puppet festival, and that's where he met Jim Henson.
Mm.
And that's when Jim Henson offered him a job on Sesame Street. And he struggled at first with them really bad.
Almost quit.
Yeah, until he became Big Bird.
Yep.
Now, watching how, like, I don't think I've ever seen any other documentary before with the Muppets involved where you see how they do these Muppets.
Right.
Where you see how they perform the Muppets, where they show them, like, on set, where everyone is holding their arms over the head all the time. That's
crazy.
Have
little wires.
And they have little wires, or like they have real hands or whatever it is. And this is what is amazing to me. They showed us how he does Big Bird, because Big Bird's 8 foot tall. His right hand is over his head the whole time in Big Bird's mouth, except his pinky finger is on a hook that controls the eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
And then the left hand, the left hand is his hand. However, there's a fishing line connecting the left hand of the costume up through the beak down to the right hand, so it's a counterbalance.
Right.
So that's how both hands kind of move. And to me, that was amazing.
Mm.
And then you look at the fact that when he was 80 years old, he was still playing Big Bird.
Yes.
They talked to his understudy that had been his understudy since like 1996,
yep,
who also plays him sometime. But Carol Spinney was playing Big Bird in a costume with his arm over his head and this and that and everything when he was 80 years old. And it's one of those things where even his understudy said, it's like, artists don't retire.
Right.
They don't stop. They're not working a 9-to-5 job. Maybe they do less, but they don't retire. They don't stop painting. They don't stop making music. They don't stop acting. Which I never really thought about before, but really makes sense.
Yep.
You know?
Especially when you love the characters like that, which I'd never known this or I'd forgotten, but he was Big Bird and Oscar.
He was Oscar the Grouch as well, yeah.
The people that they interviewed were like, those were definitely two sides of his personality.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. It's like he got Oscar because I think Jim Henson came up to him and said, like, how are you today? He's like, scram!
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, perfect.
Yeah. I like it.
But this is kind of interesting. NASA invited Carol Spinney to orbit the Earth as Big Bird to get kids interested in NASA.
Can you believe
and
that?
And he had agreed to do it.
Yep.
And then when they realized, hey, we don't actually have room for the costume, so they decided to pull him out and they decided to send a teacher instead, and that was the Challenger space shuttle.
Yeah.
I had never heard that story before.
I hadn't either.
Yeah.
We almost lost Big Bird.
I know. That would have been crazy. I mean, because he didn't have an understudy at that time.
That was a devastating enough event, the Challenger
explosion. I remember
explosion.
Watching it in school.
Me like, too. And it was devastating enough. But if we had found out that Big Bird was on there, the Big Bird.
Yeah.
Holy God. Can you imagine what it would have done?
Yep. But no, I thought it was, I mean, wasn't it great?
Oh, it was.
You get emotional at times. When they talk about Big Bird going to
China.
And then the little girl actress from China.
Yep.
And then they almost did, and then because communist state China was at the time, they weren't going to let him say goodbye. And then finally they did. And literally Carol Spinney and his wife fell in love with this little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then fast forward to the making of this documentary and they track her down and they find her. And Carol Spinney and his wife had sent letters to her over the years and she had never gotten them because the government weren't giving them to her or whatever it was. And the documentary tracked her down, brought her to the States. And when they saw each other for the first time, they all were bawling.
Yep.
And it's like she like got reunited with her parents and they got reunited with the daughter they'd never had. And watching them walk down the street together, all three of them holding hands, like it's crazy.
Yeah.
It was emotional. It got me emotional.
Oh yeah.
But no, that I loved this documentary. I can't recommend it enough to people.
It was awesome.
That's why I didn't want to ruin it for you. That's why I wanted you to be able to watch it and appreciate and experience
everything. Watching them get very emotional and upset when they were recounting about Jim Henson passing away. And,
yeah. And Big
he was
Bird.
Only 53.
Big Bird, I know. And Big Bird giving a eulogy.
Oh, yeah.
That was emotional, too.
And singing It's Not Easy Being Green.
Oh, okay. That's what did me in.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just watching that. I'm like, fuck me.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, what were the other movies you watched?
I watched a Netflix stand-up special, Mark Maron.
Okay, I like
Time's
him.
Fun. Yeah, you should check it out. It's really good.
Cool, I will.
It's not like when we saw Aziz Ansari, you know, where they're up on the big stage. This is more him, like, sitting on a stool in front of a bunch of people just talking. But he has some really good insights and some good jokes. And I recommend it. He's a good guy.
I wonder if anyone's ever going to be as good as Gilbert Godfrey. I mean, Gilbert Godfrey. Fuck that. George Carlin.
Oh, I doubt it. Because nobody could do what he did nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, what he... The type of comedy that he was doing, it couldn't be done right now. It's not politically correct, and it's not woke.
I don't know, man. I think he's pretty awesome.
Oh, I do too. I don't think that would fly these days as easily. What else did you watch for movies?
That's it. Nothing.
Oh. I watched Hobbs and Shaw.
I'm sorry, hold on. I did watch a bunch of other older movies that we'd seen before type of thing. So, I mean, like, I watched Summer of 84 with Jason last Monday. I watched As Above, So Below. I mean, I watched the Evil Dead again. I mean... Classics.
Yeah.
Hobbs and Shaw. I really wish it wasn't related to the Fast and the Furious line.
Yeah, because every time I started to like it, they'd remind me that it was a Fast and Furious movie.
But,
you know, oh, look at all these cars. Oh, look at how we're going to drive fast. We're going to... like, I kept wanting to like it, and then I was pulled back into, remember, it's a Fast and Furious movie, it's part of the entire franchise.
But it was a good popcorn movie for just over the top.
Absolutely.
You know?
Some joking, some fun,
yeah,
lots of action. And at the one point when The Rock is wrestling with that girl, he just, like, lifts her up and yes, stands up with her. Like she's basically just a tissue.
Yep.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a good movie.
Yep.
I enjoyed it.
The last one that I watched, I went to the theater.
I thought so.
While you still can go to the theater.
Yeah.
And I watched The Invisible Man. It was going to be between that and The Hunt.
Why did you choose The Invisible Man?
Well, I had invited you, and you were going to be hanging out with Johnny. So yeah, you were more into The Hunt than my sister was.
Oh, okay.
She was the other one, and I was like, what do you think? And she said that she had heard good things, and I heard her good
things. I've heard good things about Invisible Man.
This fucking movie rocked.
I believe it.
This movie was amazing, and I would even go so far as to say it benefits from being seen in the theater.
Oh, really?
There's stuff that they do, like there's one point. This is one of the most tense movies I have watched in a long time.
Nice.
I legitimately jumped a couple of times, and I don't jump. Like, even at parts of movies that are jump scares, I see them coming, and I'm like, yeah, yeah. I jumped in a few places here. There's one point where she kicks a dog food bowl, and it made me, like, jump out of my seat a little bit because everything was so silent and so tense. The whole movie is so tense.
Yeah.
And then she kicks that dog food bowl, and it's so loud, and it just literally, like, jolted me. There's another point where she's looking, and she's watching, and she's waiting, and suddenly the dog barks. But it's behind her, so they hit it out of the back speakers in the theater.
Oh, nice.
So it comes in behind you. Rah, 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 rah. You're, oh, shit.
That's kind of cool.
So the long and the short of it is, if you've seen the trailers, you know what the movie's about.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil this. I'm going to say, very basically, it's super tense. It's super intense. The camera work is phenomenal. Like, they do things with panning a shot where, like, they're focused on her, and then the camera will just pan over to a blank wall. And you're like, is he there? Is he not there? Because this isn't one of those things where, like, oh, you see a shimmering outline or something like that. Or, oh, look, I can see, like, where somebody's standing on the ground there. They don't do that. Like, most of the scenes, there's no actor there. So it's fucking tense as hell. It would be better as an audience member, it would be less tense if you could look at the screen and see, like, the shimmer and be like, okay, so I know he's there. You don't. You don't know if he's there. It's fucking great. Like, I legitimately loved watching this movie, and I want to see it again, actually.
It was written and directed by Lee Whannell.
Yeah.
Yeah, who did Saw and Saw 2 and 3 and Insidious 1, 2, and 3, and he did Upgrade.
Oh, wow.
So I'm
was that one?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his work.
Legitimately, like, if people get a chance to see this in the theater, I do recommend it because the camera work is great. The audio is awesome. I give it a hard sell. This was a great movie, and it was super intense and super tense and
nice.
Yeah. I was so glad that I went to see it. I still want to see The Hunt, though.
I want to see The Hunt as well, but I don't know if I'm going to the theater anytime soon.
Well, so far they've only limited it to 50%, but I get what you're saying. You know, it's not just like, it's less about, oh, am I going to be able to get in, and more of, do I want to go in?
Right. You know, I've seen a lot of memes and jokes, like agoraphobic people. This is my time. You know,
introverts. I've been preparing for this my whole life.
Yeah, stuff like that, so. But Disney is even closing their park.
Already did.
Right, today. However, they released Frozen 2 3 months early.
Same thing with The Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, so that was really cool. They're like, sorry, here.
Yep. Which, decent of them.
Yes. You know?
If you're going to be stuck inside, buy our stuff.
Yeah.
And isn't it cool? I was talking with my mom about this tonight. Isn't it great that this is happening in this day and age where we have text alerts, where we have digital entertainment? You know, it's not like when you and I were kids and you had a VCR and tapes. Yep. And you were like, well, I hope that this will not become annoying.
Yeah.
I hope that I'm not watching the same movie for 3 weeks in a row. Yeah, you can just fire up Netflix or Hulu or whatever.
Even if I was stuck without streaming, say internet went down for a week or whatever the shit that was, I've got enough DVDs in my, and you do as well,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, well, I guess I can start watching my catalog of movies that I own that I haven't seen in years.
Yeah.
You know, let me blow the dust off this DVD case. I got to bend over and put it in the DVD player now.
You know what would do me in, though?
What?
Is seeing the aspect ratio and seeing in high def.
It wouldn't bother me.
Oh.
I don't mind watching old. Like, I don't mind watching older stuff and the original 4:3, 3:4 and black and white or whatever. That doesn't bother me. But I also don't have a wicked, wicked, wicked nice TV like you do, so.
Fair enough.
But it's funny because I used to hate watching widescreen movies on my old, like, square TV.
Yeah.
Because you
damn black bars.
Because it just limited what you could see, and it was curved, and it just didn't look right.
Yeah.
You know, like, now it's a little bit different with the TVs they make now, but then it was just like, yeah, okay, I get it. This is what the director wanted you to see, but I can't see the damn screen.
I remember working at the video store and seeing like Jurassic Park come out, and they'd have the standard edition and the widescreen edition.
Yes.
And you got the widescreen if you wanted to be classy.
Yes.
And you wanted to have those black bars so that you could, you know, see everything and show off to all your friends. But yeah, it's, I don't know.
Yeah. And now it's like, if you have an option between watching the widescreen edition or the full screen edition. Why the frig would you watch full screen?
Exactly. Well, then you run into the other things, like I'm sure you've noticed this with the SNES Classic.
Oh, yeah.
Everything on that was meant for a 4:3 ratio. Yes. So when you plug it in, you've got the bars on the side.
Which I'm okay with, because that's what it's supposed to be. Recently, they put Beyond the Mat on Netflix. I was excited. I hadn't seen it in years. I know it's in my closet somewhere. So I threw it on, and I had to shut it off, because Beyond the Mat, when it was originally filmed, was in the 4:3,
mm-hmm.
okay? Or you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And when they put it on Netflix, they basically zoomed it in, so it was taking up, you know, the 16:9.
Oh.
And so it looks like shit. Like,
I bet it does.
Picture quality not only looks like shit, but I know that they've cut parts of the screen off so they could get it in there like that. Ugh. And it looks terrible. I had to shut it off. It's like, no, this was filmed in this other aspect ratio. That's what it should be watched in.
Yep.
So. All right, I guess that's it for the show, which I'm not upset about. It's only 9:13. And I'm Superstar Mel on Twitter.
I'm the Quantum Geek G33K.
That's it.
Later.